Jesus' name. Amen. Three words are written on my sheet. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Oh, everybody says amen. Oh, yeah, I need Jesus. Somebody said everybody's a Christian until it gets biblical. You know what I mean? We need Jesus more, I think more and more, especially when you're dealing with the culture. You know, people are always going to ask about Jesus, you know. That's the dividing line. They'll talk about religion. They'll talk about the great God in the sky, the spirit beings. They'll hang things and believe every kind of thing in the world. But when you narrow it down to the man named Jesus Christ, he is the stone that the builders rejected. But the word is truthful. But that one they rejected is the chief cornerstone. It's all built around Jesus. Somebody said, do you need, some guy asked somebody the other day, said, do I really need Jesus to go to heaven? And I say, man, you need Jesus just to go to Walmart today. How many of you know that's true right now? We need Jesus if you go to Walmart right now. Tyler and I were on the road yesterday. We went to a little truck stop. Have you ever heard of the Bucky's truck stop right now? Where we're on the, and there, it's an amazing place. It's just amazing. And whoever invented that idea, but we walked in it, and it was so crowded that it was like Mardi Gras Day on Canal Street walking through that thing. And then I said, Tyler, don't buy anything, because every checkout line was about a 20-minute wait, every checkout line in the place. Couldn't get in the parking lot. So I'm not really good in those kind of things. So I just kind of, he went to the door and we said, we're getting out of here. Well, I knew I needed Jesus in that place yesterday right now. The next four words, first I said, we need Jesus. And the next thing I said, we are at war. We're at war right now. We're talking about the Ukraine. Let me just read exactly what I wrote for the sake of time as not to ramble. The Ukraine is a distraction going on. Because what's happening right now, I hope no country will surrender its sovereignty to a concept of the one world government that's coming in the World Health Organization in disguise. The world, by the way, there's a World Health Treaty that the countries are lining to sign right now, and it actually overrides each country's constitution. And they're lining up. And some of these crazies in D.C. are putting their toe in that water. It overrides constitutions of individual countries. And they're doing it under the guise of dealing with future, quote, pandemics. They're calling it the Pandemic Preparation Preparedness International Treaty. It's about control. It is with the World Health Organization. It's the World Economic Forum that's going on right now. And what was said in the opening of that forum this week said it this way. We need a recalibration of human rights like freedom of speech. Like, nobody covered this. No network covered this in America. This was actually from the opening address. We need a recalibration of human rights like the freedom of speech. There's another group called the Alibaba Group. President Michael Evans boasted in the World Economic Forum just this week about the development of, quote, individual carbon footprint trackers to monitor what you buy, what you eat, where and how you travel. It's going on right now. There's one man that was with the Pfizer company that actually said they're experimenting with something right now that they could lace your medicine with to be able to see if you took your medicine as ordered and to follow you. That's going on right now. That's not Soylent Green. That's right now. That's not science fiction. That's right now. Somebody said, what's that have to do with church? I came to praise God and to dance and to feel good. It's to wake you up, please. Please, I hope you're praying about this right now. Klaus Schwab, who is a demonic Nazi, he's demonic. He's demonic driven. He has Nazi proclivities. It's in his family. It's in his father. He has inherited, and he is an unhinged Nazi anarchist. He made this statement just this week. He said, the future is being built by us. They're not just predicting food shortages in the world today. They're planning them for us right now. Remember back 20 years ago, we used to say, a lot of guys, man, if things get rough in America, we're going to move to Australia. It's a lot more free there, a lot more. Everybody, they said that about 10, 15 years ago. Do you know right now, just a few weeks ago, they sent down a rule in Australia prohibiting people from growing their own food in Australia. That's a power grab. That's a grab to make them only bowing. People jumped up and down after they locked you down for 2 years. Oh, and they gave you $1,200. Guess what? The bill came in, and you're paying for it whenever you pay $4.30 to fill up your tank. We're sitting on an ocean of oil, but it's intentional. We're at war. It's intentional. It's intentional. It was predicted. They're not predicting it. They're planning it for us right now. They're grooming children right now. Disney announced this week a new line of LGBT, XII, whatever it is, clothing for children with rainbows and Mickey for children. It's a whole line of clothing right now. The perverted mayor of Chicago said this. You know, they'll always use the dramatic language to say what they want to say, and they don't care whether it's truth or not. It's only for inciting. When the rumor came down to the Supreme Court, by the way, that was leaked out of the Supreme Court to get the base screaming. You can believe that the Chief Justice knew about it and knows all about it, but it was done as a leak so that they could inflame a base in order to intimidate the people on the court. She wrote this: to my friends in my LGBT plus community, the Supreme Court is coming for us next. That's nowhere. That's incendiary language. And here's what the mayor of Chicago, more people are killed. You take care of Chicago and you take care of LA and New York, and your crime goes down by 70% in America. She said, this is a moment, is a call to arms. Now, if I said that in a pulpit, they'd cuff me and have me on TV. But a reprobate mayor can say these things and get away with it. That's insightful speech. But I can't help those people because they're ungodly. They need God. But I can speak especially about the guys that stand where I stand today, and it's worse than anything I've said today. The Barna Research Group just released new data that says 63% of Christian pastors do not possess a biblical worldview. That means that they preach their gospel and it's a separate sort of thing. It has nothing to do in the world today. And it is an intentional separation. But the number is even bigger and more frightening when they surveyed youth pastors and children's pastors. 88% of those people did not have a biblical worldview. That's coming out of them. We're also feeling the crop right now of about a 20-year birthing seed planting of the fad of youth pastors playing volleyball with kids during service. Therefore, they don't know how to pray. They're not armed. They don't have the word of God right now. Now, maybe in the old days we weren't hip, and maybe we did some things that were not kind of good, and we were a little bit tough in some things, and maybe not quite as compassionate as we should have been. But the little children that sat in the seat, the scripture is in them, and they heard the scripture, and maybe they ran from it, but it's been put in them. And those of you who had babies that sat through worship services, those of you who had children that sat through services and they were kind of bored and cried and even slept through it. I got my best sleep in church. Yeah, believe me, the word is in them, and maybe they're gone today. Maybe they have rejected it. Maybe they have let the ways and the concept of the world take them over. Hey, don't just keep praying. You put the seed in it, and I'm believing that it's going to come forth, and it won't be void when it comes forth. I hope I've encouraged you with that word right now. 88%. Today is a perfect Memorial Day weekend message because this word lands squarely in the lap of our own culture clash. Lines are being drawn every day, but there is a great, more than ever, there is a great need for the followers of Christ to be informed, grounded, discerning, anointed, and faith-filled. That's why I've come to you today. I know I've laid some things in your lap for a few minutes, but I've called you today. This is a spiritual, I forget what the mayor says, this is a spiritual call to arms. This is a spiritual thing. You will not be allowed to play neutral. You're not Switzerland. You can't be neutral. You can't avoid what's coming. But unfortunately, the current role of much of the church in 2022 America is just be kind. Don't judge. We are very tolerant people. And all the while, that's putting them to sleep, and it's getting hotter and hotter all the time. Professor Doc Sandlin wrote it this way. He said, assuming that you can keep the church safe by avoiding the culture war is a fool's errand. You got that? You can't avoid it. Just because you refuse to fight Satan in the culture, don't assume he will refuse to bring that fight into the church. You can't appease. You can't be buddies. You have to say, I'm going to speak the word. I love you. When people ask me, well, what do you think about so-and-so right now? I said, now you know who I am. You know what I do. I am going to answer you from what I believe the word says. You got it? So don't get inflamed with me right now. Here's what the word, and I land on this side. You cannot assume. You can't just sit down, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. We're being run over right now. They're having meetings to take over right now. But this is not a new phenomenon. Don't be upset. Don't be afraid today. Don't be afraid. Back about 50 to 75 years after the birth of Jesus, there was another call to arms. There was another call in the culture clash of that time. It came through a man by the name of Jude. Jude was his name. Jude is the 65th book in the Bible. It's the 26th book in the New Testament. Jude is likely the brother of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of Jude there. He was another Judas, but not that Judas. And I think that's probably a reason why he was more known by Jude. In fact, if you take his name Jude, it is an adaptation of the name Judah, which means praise. And like today, the danger was very, very real when Jude wrote his book. His entire book is only one chapter, but I find it so pivotal. It's so pivotal. Jude was challenging the followers of Christ, and through his short one-chapter book, he's using a word like fight. He's using a word like contend. He's using a word like do battle. It is a stand for the faith. It is a call to stand for good doctrine. It is a call to stand for the future for the people of God. And on so many levels in this book, it's the believers who are being addressed. You see, that this is what I'm addressing believers today. You love the Lord. We may even have personal disagreements on certain situations, but that should not be the prerequisite. It should be our common bond and our common blood flows in our veins, and we are people of God. We're people of God, called by his name, as we used to sing. The believers are being addressed. How do I know? Because you're going to see, by the way, I use fight, contend, do battle. You're going to see a really neat thing in the writing of this one chapter book. And you're going to see a three concept there. Of course, we think of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see similar things there. Jude was quite a thinker. Jude had been watching some of the things that had gone on. And you're going to see another word here. He said, how do I know it's to believers? Because in part of the opening few statements, it says those who are, number one, he'll say those who are called, those who are sanctified, those who are preserved. Are you called? Have you been sanctified? Have you been set apart? You've been preserved. God is giving you a word today to those who are called, those who have been set apart, and those who will be preserved even in the most difficult of times. The word's strong. The word is good today. The book of Acts, after the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts with the Pentecost day, the book of Acts commemorates the beginning of the church, or what the teachers would call the beginning of the church age. Okay? The book of Jude is actually symbolizing the end in the scriptural church age of how the church was birthed. Someone says that Acts is called the Acts of the Apostates. That could be used for the book of Jude. You've got the Acts of the Apostles, and now you've got the Acts of the Apostates, those who've known the word and turned from it. That should scare you today. The book of Jude is an end times book. Someone said Jude is the pathway. One writer even said Jude is the vestibule between here and the book of Revelation. So I'm laying something on you, because he dealt with a culture clash like never before. Jude's an interesting, let me just throw out some just fun things for you right now. It's surprising when you look at the book of Jude. Jude is very, very special. It's surprising that there are a few things that are mentioned in the book of Jude of things that happened in the Old Testament. Well, that may not mean anything to you, but when you realize the other 26 books of the New Testament do not discuss those things that Jude says. There are a couple of things that Jude says that were not from the Old Testament that were not mentioned in any other book of the New Testament. Are you seeing how important this little book is? You'll just go by it. You can read it in 5-10 minutes. But there's so much life into that thing right now. I'm not finished with this. I can feel it. The book of Jude gives a second coming prophecy. The book of Jude talked about Noah and said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The book of Jude names the two magicians in Egypt. Now, remember that? When the two magicians? Jude names them in his book. In no other New Testament book are those guys named. Jude is the only book in the New Testament that says Elijah prayed to stop the rain for 3.5 years. Then there's an unusual, as he alludes to, a very unusual thing. Now, we read part of it when Moses died. But no other book in the New Testament talked about why Michael the archangel and why Lucifer, Satan, were contending for the body of Moses. Remember that when we talked about it? Why were they both interested in Moses' body? Do you realize that there are over 500 Old Testament references to Moses, but only one refers to his body? So today we start in Jude. I love this book. It's a beautiful greeting. He says, Jude. And he identifies himself. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm the brother of James. This book is coming to those. This book is coming to those with special credentials. So he's not on the street corner preaching. He's not evangelizing on TV or radio. He is not preaching a salvation message. He is preaching to y'all. He's preaching to me today because there is a conflict going on. Jesus is off the scene. He's probably been gone 30 years from this time, but the message is still going on. The message is still going on. The message of the gospel is still going on. The message of the cross is going on, but there are things that are creeping in, and it's scaring him. And he's warning them, as I warn you today with the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. To those who are, number one, called, sanctified by God the Father. By the way, I'm going to break down these three in a minute. And preserved by Jesus Christ. First off, here's your three right here. Called. Who does the calling? It is the Spirit that calls us, the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that draws us. Somebody said, you know what I just felt? I just felt to do that. That's not in your brain. That's not in your brain. It is the Spirit that draws you. It is the Spirit that says when you go, I want to read that word today. What does the word say for me this morning? It is the Spirit that draws. The very first time you sat in a service or you sat on TV and something happened in your heart and you felt something strong in your heart and that pulled you to want to pray a prayer. To some of us, we were just little children when we prayed that prayer. Lord, be merciful. Some of us have had to pray it 3 or 4 times in our life. Not that Jesus forgot it, but we forgot it. We got saved every year at youth camp again. That's the way it worked, you know. Last night, though, we had fun the first 4 days. The very first thing you feel, even as a little child or an adult, that draws you to the word, who did that? You didn't. I just felt, no, the Holy Spirit did that. And when somebody says that to you, I just felt, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you right there. It's the Holy Spirit that draws. You were called, and then you were sanctified. You've been called and set apart. God, I've called you by your name. You are mine. You've been set apart. Keep them away from everything else. And then in the ongoing process, you have been preserved. How does that happen? That happens through the Son, Jesus Christ, through his word and the word that comes in us. And then there's three more things. A beautiful greeting. What a great way to walk into a house. Mercy. Peace and love be multiplied to you. Today, I want to say that to each one of you. May mercy be multiplied to you. May peace be multiplied to you. May love be multiplied to you in Jesus' name. The New Living Bible right here says it this way. He said, may God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Isn't that sweet? I think that's a great, great thing. And now he's going to give you a picture word and the title of my message. And this is where I started in my preparation. In verse 3, he said, beloved, while I was very diligent, again, beloved, there's relationship. He's not writing to the guy on the street. He's not writing to the sinner. He's not writing to the heathen. He's writing to people who love God and have at least started the journey and have a bit of this inside of them. Beloved, while I was, and beloved is also an affectionate term that you would use for someone of your family. Beloved, beloved. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation. By the way, that's the thing we have in common. That's the thing we have in common. You ever say, I don't think anything in common with them. Well, start out from the, we've been called. That's a good starting point right now. We have a common thing. The common salvation. Common does not mean at that point just something. No, common means in common. Common is in common here is relationship. Common in some uses of sentences means ordinary or plain, no, or regular. Well, this common, we have a fellowship. We have a fellowship. I'm talking to you, he's talking to me right now. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to do what? Say the Lord with me. To contend earnestly for the faith. Out of the box, Jude is a defender of the faith. It was part of his family, but it was part of the common thing that was even deeper than natural family. How many of you, when you see something very precious and you see people not appreciating that which is precious? Boy, there's so many things going on in my brain right now. I'm trying. Something that is beautiful and precious and to mistreat it. He said, I see right now. He said, I find it necessary. And notice he says not to correct you, to yell at you, or to put you down, but to exhort you. I hope I'm exhorting you today. I hope I'm asking you to stir this thing. I'm asking you to be involved with the word of the Lord. To contend earnestly for the faith. The word contend, that's a struggle word. It's a picture word. That's an up-close grappling like a wrestler would have. It's strenuous. This is tough sometimes. This is tough when you feel like you're standing alone. This is tough when you're in a family and you feel like you're on the iceberg by yourself. It's tough when the culture is beating you over and over and the TV commercials and the foolishness that's going on there. It's to the point now that it's triggering my alarm bells everywhere. It's up close grappling to contend. It is a don't let go grip. It is a don't let it be taken from you concept. And he says, do not forget to contend for this faith, which was once for all. Who made it once for all? That's the common thread there. For once was once for all delivered to, I put his saints, to the saints. We all have, by faith, we have received salvation. It is an active thing. There's a fruit of the Spirit, even, of having faith. There's a spirit of faith. He knows, out of the box, this was given to you. And now he's getting ready to deal with the concept of doctrinal purity, which was the thing that he was disturbed about and wanted to exhort them about. He said, because certain men... Here's what I wrote in the print in my margin. Those who are not of the same spirit and the calling. Got it. We're living in a time, even in a church world, that we listen to people speak and they are not of the same spirit, not of the same calling. Forget the people on the outside. Forget the things I read to you at first. Forget all of that. I'm concerned of the lack of unity, of common vision, of together in the salvation thing and the bowing to that culture right now. Certain men who are not of the same spirit. But this is nothing new because it happened to Jude. He said they have crept in unnoticed. They have crept in unnoticed. Warning real quick. Be careful what creeps in. Be careful what your kids are bringing in. Be careful what you're bringing in. Be careful what you'll fall for. Sometimes you just have to use the and turn it off. Sometime you have to go, and you're in a situation, maybe you can't even speak out sometimes. You just say, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I just ask you to let the protection of the Spirit be upon me right now. There's sometimes that I've been in situations, I've been in situations where there's obviously some weird stuff going on there, and I'm hearing some things, and it's not, and I realize it's not the time or the platform to do it, and I've actually had to get myself together and actually touch myself, and I'm smiling, I'm talking, and my hand, oh, really, like that. I'm thinking, Jesus' name, protect me from this crazy person. Protect me from the spirit. And you need to do that. Especially with our kids and young, they want to bring in every kind of philosophy but this. And you bring Jesus up, and oh, no, and please don't let that happen. They will let any other kind of club be on campus, but don't talk about Jesus right now. Or they'll make fun of Jesus. Or what about so-and-so? There was something written many years ago, and it hasn't been seen. Stop digging. When you're doing that stuff, you're looking for an alternative other than the word. You heard the word, the guy was saying, he was mountain climbing, he fell off the side of the mountain, and all of a sudden as he went down a little bit, he grabbed one branch and he's hanging there all by himself. He said, help, help, is anybody up there? Help, is anybody up there? And all of a sudden he heard this voice. He heard the voice that said, let go of the branch. He said, help, 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 help. Who is it? He said, this is God. He said, let go of the branch. And he screamed, is there anybody else up there? He said. And that's the way we live our life. We're looking for another alternative. They've crept in unnoticed. This sounds a little bit judgmental. Watch this. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They are ungodly men. That's judgmental, man. And what they do, they turn the grace of our God into lewdness. They deny the only Lord God, the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a world today, right now, where in anything else, well, you don't know about that. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're more worried about a cause than the covenant, you got to recalibrate in Jesus' name. They turn the grace of God to lewdness. They divide the only Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, we got history, guys. He's saying, though you once knew this. Now, there's a concept that he's dealing with of keeping the truth in the forefront, okay? There was a point in your early walk that you jumped for everything and embraced it that God had. So here comes the lesson. You once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he's given the history lesson, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. You've known this, he said. You also know that the angels did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in similar manner of these, having given themselves over to the sexual immorality, and gone after strange gods, strange flesh, strange fire. People are going for every strange philosophy thing. Break it in Jesus' name. And they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Again, he's given a history lesson. Likewise, also these dreamers, they defile the flesh. They reject authority. They speak evil of dignitaries. Yet, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil. No other New Testament book mentions this episode right here. Michael is one of the three archangels, the main archangels that are discussed in scriptures. He dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. That might be a good fallback on some of you right now. You might not even be in front of somebody. But I'm reading a thing right now that I'm working on a concept when in the New Testament, when they were told not to speak, the prophet said, Lord, behold their threats and suffering. Then you read other situations. David even prayed, do not let their plans come to anything. Lord, confound their plans. And there are sometimes I go by such, and I'm going, Lord, rebuke you in Jesus' name. I've spoken those things. I've told you I've done those things. Back with school and things like that, and you're dealing with some of the things that come into your, with little children, or I've been in functions and situations where I've seen one or two people that had children that had no business to have children. You know what I mean? If you've seen those kind of crazy, and I see the faces of an oppression of a little child there, and something in my heart goes out to them, and I see them, and they're following. I want to be charitable when I say this, but I've seen these kind of things, and I've actually walked by some of these babies, whether it's in a store or whether it's been somewhere else, and I've seen them, and I've stood in checkout lines, and I've done this, and I said, Father, Jesus, protect this baby from this crazy person. Father, right now, let a hedge of protection, let something happen, let them either change or let somebody come into the picture that will rescue this baby in Jesus' name. And I've seen, my heart goes out, and I've said, and rebuke your foolishness. I've done that. It's not something I put a sign around my neck and stand on the street. They'll commit me. But I think you can say the word that he says. I'm going to use that. The three archangels, you've got Lucifer. Okay, you got Lucifer, you got Michael, you have Gabriel. Lucifer, actually, he was the head worship leader, created that. You understand, we did all that at the fall. Actually representing the he was the most beautiful of creatures. He's the original, he's the father there. Michael is the archangel, as he's called in scripture, represents the concept of the son, Jesus, who led in warfare. And then you've got Gabriel, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, because Gabriel is the one that brought revelations and trumpeted the sound there. He brought interpretations. The angel Gabriel came. So you even see there that concept. So we pick up in verse, I've only 9 verses in of this great book. And he said, these people that have heard these things and have fallen away. He said, these people speak evil of whatever they do not know. Hey, has anything changed? I've seen people stand up and they say things they don't even know what they're talking about. They say goofy things. They don't even, they're just yapping. They're just yapping like parrots. And whatever they know naturally, stop right there. That's part of the problem. It is their natural wisdom that was born in rebellion. Lucifer said, I will ascend. It is in the problem with Adam and Eve. I will be like God. When we dealt with Absalom, I will be like the king. When we dealt with Joab, I'm going to place myself that I always land great on my feet. When we look at all these characters in scripture that said they were going to land, that's the natural wisdom that is conniving and positioning the entire time. Natural wisdom will get us in trouble. And it says, because like brute beast, I love that terminology, like a brute beast. My grandmother used this a lot. How many of your grandmothers used he's like a bull in a china closet. We always use that. That was grandma's big one. Get some of us, when our ADD kicked in, you're acting like a bull in a china closet. Now watch this. In these things, they've corrupted themselves. How do they corrupt? They corrupt in their own natural wisdom. They corrupt in turning. They corrupt in seeing something and twisting it in another way. Not user-friendly today. Woe to them. Woe to them. 3 more concepts, and you will understand every one because of the journey we've taken in the last year and a half. Watch this. He said, woe to them, for they have gone, number one, the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the era of Balaam for profit. And they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. There's another trio right there that we can learn from, that again, he is doing that, the symbolism. You have Caleb, you have Cain, Balaam, and Korah. God nicknamed them by these specifics in the word. The way of Cain, you understand that. The way of Cain, you know the story about Cain, and God had no respect for him because in his own wisdom, he connived and went his way and murder was found in him. It doesn't take long when you're in your own. And the next statement, he said, the era of Balaam. Now remember, Balaam the destroyer, was a foreigner. He was a man of bad character. His counsel was bad. He pointed Israel in the wrong direction. He was hard-headed. He was motivated by money. He abused the grace of God, and God did better, and God went past him, and God spoke to his donkey instead. You remember that story? We did that already. So I want you to be careful, he said, not to emulate the way of Cain or the error of Balaam. And notice the next word, the rebellion of Korah. Remember that? Korah means baldness, frozen. He was the ringleader with Dathan. He was leading the church in the wilderness, raised up the insurrection against Moses under the guise of equality. He was the one of the, we need to be more inclusive today. And it was those things that he sold, and he was a rebellious man. The bottom line, God didn't emulate these boys. And in verse number 12, he says this, these are spots. I wrote in my margin, these are carnal flaws. We all have carnal flaws if we're left to our own wisdom. All of us, we will fall right back into that. We are all that way. We are all that way. And that's why Jude comes forth and said, I need to exhort you to remember what you first learned. Okay? He said, but some, with the passage of time, not on the outside, but in the ranks, have corrupted those things, and they begin to want to be like a Korah. They begin to want to be like a Balaam and begin to be like Cain right now. He said, these are spots in your love feast. We got great church. We've got this. We got this. But while they feast with you without fear, they only serve themselves. Here's what he calls those people. They're clouds without water. If he was from Texas, he'd say, all hat, no cows. They're clouds without water. They're carried about by winds. They're late autumn leaves without fruit, meaning they produce nothing. And he said, in fact, they're twice dead. They're pulled up by the roots. They're raging waves of the seed, foaming up in their own shame. They're wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Is that enough? Is that enough descriptive language about the people that have turned from God? That have followed the way of Cain, the era of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah? So here's their future. And now Enoch. He's given a history thing. And now Enoch, the seventh son from Adam, prophesied. By the way, this is the only account of this prophecy in all of the New Testament. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to talking about second coming, to execute on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them and all their ungodly deeds which they've committed in an ungodly way. Ungodly is the key word in the sentence. And all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's the oldest prophecy uttered by a prophet in Scripture. The second coming of Christ in the word of Enoch, the prophecy that Enoch said was brought forth even before the flood of Noah in Genesis. And Jude tags it. This is really, I feel I'm moved by it. And then what we're seeing today, I told you this could have been called the Acts of the Apostates. You see a falling away from the doctrine. Because here's another problem today. People forget that we are made in God's image, and now they are trying to make God in their image. That's the problem with culture right now. That's probably trying to make God in their own image. But what I think God could really, I see so many different things running in different directions. Who are they? Again, not user-friendly. These are the grumblers, the complainers. They walk about according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words. Boy, you see that on TV, don't you? You see that, all the political stuff. You see the business stuff going on right now. By the way, I need to really, really quickly remind you, we're not at war with Republicans. We're not at war with Democrats. And if you are, you're missing the boat. We're the people of common blood and common covenant are at war with evil. And that's what he was reminding them about. We're really at war with evil. I don't care what the letter is. If it's evil, run from that thing. Because they're all messed up. They flatter people to gain advantage. I saw a text the other day from someone I love. I had to work love out. And I saw this text, and this person was like, call this number, join this Zoom thing, and we'll give you a word. It's like buying potato chips out of a machine. Get your credit card, join our Zoom, we will give you a word. I just had to, Lord, where'd he go off? He creeped me out. I think I've been living in this book too long. They flatter people to gain advantage. But you, people of God, beloved ones, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they were told that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are the sensual persons who cause divisions. Romans 16 says it this. It's not going to be up here. Romans 16, 17 says, mark those who cause divisions. Mark those who cause divisions. That's not the sinner. It's people who are corrupting the word for self-gain or because they're afraid of what's going to be said about them. Or they won't be invited to the cool parties. One of the biggest religious movements in America, just blowing the doors off. All of a sudden you're finding out the culture was rotten to the core. Using the people's money. Going through the choir, girls first, men second. You see these kind of things. It causes division because they're not being ruled by the Spirit of God. It's into this sort of clash that I come to you and give you a good word. Build yourself up, beloved. Y'all, build yourself. What are we talking about? Contending. How do you stand? Build yourself up. Armor up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads us unto eternal life. You can't make place for those other things if you're doing that verse. T.D. Jakes. There was a point in our life where things where we were going through a very, very difficult season and not too many people knew about it. Most people wouldn't have cared anyway. And we just needed somebody to encourage. And it just so happened. This doesn't happen. It just so happened. T.D. Jakes was in town. And I just sent a note. And I said, hey, man, if you want to go somewhere. He was new years ago. And all of a sudden I get a call back. I'd like to go eat somewhere downtown. Called Linda. I said, get ready for lunch. Where are we going? Picking up T.D. Jakes. I mean, 15 minutes. She got ready 15 minutes. I remember sitting there at that table, and all of a sudden we started, and he stopped, and he said, this must be why I called you. T.D. Jakes sat in the Houston's restaurant on St. Charles Avenue, and he spent the next 45 minutes talking to two people in front of him. I'll never forget it. And he said, this is why I came. I'll never forget it. T.D. Jakes said something when you're trying to walk both sides of the fence. Put T.D.'s quote up here. He says it this way. You cannot rebuke the devil that you continually grant access to your life. Don't walk around rebuking the devil when you keep running back to him. Don't rebuke the devil when you keep opening the door to him. Don't keep doing it. T.D. Jakes is right on target. This is what Jude is saying right now. There is a real devil. There is real evil out there. There are demonic, crazy nuts out there right now. T.D. Jakes, you can't go. No, I rebuke that in Jesus, but yet you go right back to it. That's the people he was dealing with. On some, though, you got to have some discernment. You got to have compassion. You must make a distinction. In other words, there is a discernment there. Some of you, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You're going to feel something in a certain situation. Some of them, you're going to have to chastise. Others, you're going to have to love. Others, you're going to have to exhort and point. And you're going to have to ask God to be smart. Don't be foolish. Others, save them with fear. That sounds like our grandma used to do to all of us. Pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's been defiled by the flesh. And to me, I think one of the greatest benedictions that we can have. Now to him What a great, I love the numbers, but I love this one too. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, or stumbling, it says here, who's able to keep you from falling away. It is all in his hands now. And to present you, there will be a presentation time. You always read in the paper, you got these little girls, they're 13 years old, and they're at a little party, they're coming out. I forgot what's the word for it. Yeah, they're coming out. This is like little so-and-so. This is little miss. And they always got four names, you know, da-da-da-da, little names out there. Mary Sue, Mary Elizabeth, da-da-da-da-da. And some rich-sounding name at the end of it like that. And they're the daughter of Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so. And she's come out, and little girls got a little dress on there. Yeah, that's sweet. That's cute. But there's going to become a time that when it's over, God's gonna hear the voice. And Jesus Christ and that Michael, that archangel, and Gabriel, they're going to stand there present to you. Here's Amy before your throne, God. She's walked with you. She served you. Has Amy had difficult walk? She had fights? Yes, she's had fights, but she stands bold. Here's Katie. I present you Katie right now. Katie has walked through fires and things. Has she been discouraged? Yes, but she's landed on the side of the word every time. Here's Joe. Landed on each side of the word right now. Here's Richard. He's walked through things right there. I want to present him to you. And at that point, there you are blameless, you are spotless, because it's been done. You have stayed in the faith. I've exhorted you to stay in the word. There will be a presentation time, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, who alone to him gives glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Golly, I'm excited, and you're looking at me like a tree full of owls. This word will prevail in any culture. Two statements. Stand on it. Stand in it. I'm asking you to contend in the culture. I'm asking you to contend in the culture. What do you mean? You might have to hold on to some good things. You might have to grapple. It's like wrestling holds. But don't be afraid to land on that which is right. A man we honor greatly in our home and have for years. Boy, he's taking such grief because he lands most times on the word of the gospel. His name is Clarence Thomas. I pray for his protection, his safety every day. They got to the other justice. Don't be fooled. He didn't just fall asleep. Yeah, I said it. And recently, with the intimidation to try to intimidate Justice Thomas, he made a statement. Here's what he said. He said, you can be in the middle of a hurricane, or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. It could be a hurricane, it could be a calm day, but north always stays the same. You could be in a thunderstorm, and north is still north. Right is still right, even if you stand by yourself. Wow. He said that 2 weeks ago. God is looking for those who will stand even in the culture with him. Those who will stand in the culture. That is the word right now. I'm asking you to take this word today. I'm asking you to fight for it. Be willing to fight. God will help you. Through him, you can contend even in a hostile culture. Today, I speak faith to you in Jesus' name. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm making mental notes with some of these things that I'm doing right now. And in a few weeks from now, we're going to come back to this right here. And I'm going to give you a little extra stuff to strengthen you. Why? Because we need to hear the word over and over again. I pray that you will stand in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Amen. Well, I hope you have a good time this weekend. Please don't be of those who are ashamed to celebrate a weekend like this. I'm so thankful. There's 640 acres up in Washington, D.C., named Arlington Cemetery. And those white headstones are why we have the freedom still. It hasn't been completely signed off, but they're coming that way right now. And we'll have other decisions and other battles to make. I'm not ashamed to wave that flag to thank those people. Find another flag. It's not going to be the blue and white UN flag, I'll tell you that. But the bottom line, though, the real thing I fly is the flag of Jesus Christ in my heart. And the blood that flows in my veins supersedes where my grandparents came from, where my folks came from. That's all sweet. That's a memory. That's part of history. But if I understand the word right, that when I prayed the prayer that day, I was made a new creature. I was made a new species. I had other blood in my veins. And the only time I get into trouble is when I go away from that thought like these guys, forget that, and start walking in my own wisdom or corrupt the word to make it shoehorn it to fit something that I'm not doing right. And that's when I felt the hammer hit me on the head. So today I encourage you, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. The Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace in his holy name. And everybody said, amen. God love you.